All right, this is the roast segment and the
roast,
movie.
The roast. The roast.
What? Got delay.
Practical effect. The roast. The roast. The roast.
Yeah, we have a budget constraints, so yeah. Don't mind us. Okay. All right, the movie that we have decided to place in this edition of the roast is The Curse of La Llorona.
It's called La Llorona.
It doesn't matter. I still don't care.
Okay. Here's a trivia for you.
All right.
This is one thing that, because for The Curse of La Llorona, actually online, on YouTube to look at, like, reviews and, you know, what do people talk about it and all. Mm. And one famous YouTuber, his name is Chris Tuckman. He does purely a lot of, like, movie reviews and all. So I was looking at his review and all. At the end of the review, he actually said something that was very interesting. He said that if you notice for any trailers that you watch and they have a word that is really, really hard to pronounce, the voiceover character will always pronounce it for you.
Okay.
So if you go look for, like, if you watch, I was like, is this guy for real? No. So I went to watch The Curse of La Llorona. Then at first I was like, oh, La Llorona. at the end of it, then you can hear the voiceover go, The Curse of La Llorona. Then I'm like, what the fuck? they actually really tell you lah. So now the thing is, I'm gonna ask you this. What other movie titles that are hard to pronounce that you can remember of?
Hard to pronounce,
Yep.
I don't know, basically anything that's Korean at this point of time. So there's also I don't know the
Let's Google this before we start the roast. Movie titles that are hard to pronounce.
Oh, haven't start the roast. I thought start already.
haven't. This is just extra information for those who didn't notice.
How is it pronounced again? La
Llorona.
La Llorona.
Yeah, you got it.
La Llorona.
La Llorona. The sexy Latin accent, you know.
Sounds like a cider that wasn't selling well. which apple cider is
going to the bartender like, can I have the La Llorona?
He was like, get the fuck out of here, man.
Oh, man, wait. So, okay.
But
okay, maybe now we can have time to actually go and look for trailers that actually pronounce the name of the movie that are hard to pronounce. Maybe on another episode we can talk about it.
Yeah, I can.
So, but the thing is, just now when I'm Googling, it's a term now, Googling.
It is a term. Trending.
there was actually this guy that said, when Voldemort first appeared in Harry Potter and all, the town that he was in, everybody wasn't calling him Voldemort, but they were calling him Volvedur. Volvedur.
How do you spell that?
Volvador.
Volvedur?
Yeah. Because they can't pronounce the word Voldemort, so they were like, Volvedur.
Sounds like something from that came up from Skyrim or something, sir. Volvedur? So, okay. Okay.
People and their idea. Anyways, let's get back to the roast. The roast.
All right. So, welcome to the roast. And in this edition of the roast, we have selected a movie called The Curse of
La Llorona.
Rona. So, we are practicing on our practical effects, so don't mind us. But I guess let me tell you now. Fias has a better pronunciation of the movie than I can, because whenever I try to say La La Rio, sounds like a cider that does not sell well. And I butchered a lot on the title, like how we did on the Korean names. We can't pronounce Korean names. So
hey, talking about Korean names, you know the guy that we were talking about.
Which one?
The one that I was telling you on one of the episodes. I can't remember which one. This guy, there's this Korean movie where it's called the Gangster, the Cop, and the Devil.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Guy from Train to Busan.
Mm-hmm.
He's the villain in The Eternals. And he has an English name.
Which is what?
Don Lee.
I'm pretty sure his agent decided to tell him, like, hey, you know, it's best that you shorten your name.
And it's not Ma Dong Suk. Ma Dong Suk.
What's the word that we use? Sun Bae.
Sun Bae, yes.
Sun Bae.
We totally forgot about Sun Bae, man.
Sun Bae, yeah. La Riona is gonna get a lot of Sun Bae later.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
so, like, but I think mostly you're gonna lead off with this because, like, you are more, like, well-versed for the Annabelle.
I'm the horror guy, man.
The Annabelle and the Conjuring series, right? So, okay. I think the only connection to the other series is the priest, right? I mean, not the irritating priest, but the old guy priest.
Yeah, the guy that appeared in the first episode as well.
What do you think? Like, is he important?
Father Perez.
Yeah, Perez.
Yeah. For me, I felt that he wasn't really important. He was just. I honestly feel he was just thrown into the movie so that they were like, hey, isn't that guy from Annabelle movie, the first one? Conjuring series. Oh, you know, the kind of thing.
Yep.
They just want to have that linkage with the Conjuring, which honestly this movie had very little linkage with the Conjuring franchise and the James Wan and all. But there's a few things that I actually noticed watching this movie. One is the folktale of the Weeping Woman. It's actually a real folktale that...
For Latin American, folklore, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, for us Asian, we have this thing called Putiana. So they have the La Llorona.
La Llorona.
So for those who haven't watched the movie or don't know about this folktale, is basically this woman, she has she married the guy of her dreams, had two kids, and found out that actually the guy wants to go, be with someone younger than her in order to make, like, you know, go against him or something. He went to drown both of her kids in the river, regretting that after that, killing herself in the same river. So now she comes back to haunt kids who are parents use it to scare their kids as well. She will come by attracting kids to her crying, and she will kill them.
All right. So before we move anything or any stuff further, this movie has been out for a while, so there are plenty of spoilers for those who haven't seen. But then again, we have selected this movie
because it's just shit.
All right, so Fias just told us so-called the synopsis of, like, how the movie is played out.
Yeah, the folklore of the movie. Yeah.
But so, did you feel that it was well executed, like, in the movie, like,
you know what? I'm going to tell you the good parts of the movie before we start roasting it. You know,
Okay.
The good part of the movie is the characters in the movie, like Linda Cardellini and what's the other guy? The guy, not the Father Perez, the other actor that acted as the priest.
Irritating priest.
So, honestly, even the two kids in the movie and all, and even the the female character that got her two kids died at the start of the movie. I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
All of them did very well for the movie. I mean, in terms of acting wise, I think they really did a good job. And they were the saving grace of the movie. But other than that, it's just shit.
I don't know. I just felt that the ghost was not scary to me.
Like the ghost was typical, I guess.
Yeah, it's like it's quite generic. Yeah. More or less. Yeah.
It's like your what's that other movie that has a ghost like that? Dead Silence. You know, the other James Wan movie, the one with dolls and all. the main ghost, she looks the same as well. So, but other than that,
obviously the regular template of like somebody has to do something really stupid for, especially that comes to my mind right now is the scene where the priest put some what was like kacang thing, what was thing on the door, right?
Yeah, exactly. Then
people tell you specifically, don't go across the kacang line.
Kacang line.
And you still do it just because you want to get a doll into the house. And then you do that, and then you also don't know how to see the floor, and you mess up the line. Like, it's always somebody going to do something stupid. Like, people, please.
Yeah, exactly.
Can don't be stupid.
But, and also, this movie is so shit that even the jump scare also, you were like, oh my god.
It's a
typical jump scare. Then you'll be like, oh, you know, the door turns and she appears in the window. And, you know, there's one scene, the umbrella scene.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm like, what the hell is going on there? It's like, oh, I'm playing my umbrella. There you are. There you are not. Oh, you're going to grab me. Oh.
In the middle of the day.
In the middle of the day. Exactly. The number one rule of horror movie is no ghost will bloody appear in the day and scare the shit out of you.
Even possession movies, right? Rarely it happens in the day.
Even if it happens in the day, they make sure it's in a dark area, a dark environment.
But one thing I noticed, right, what the movie tries to do in terms of trying to get your attention is that if you notice, right, most of the shots they do, right, is always wide angle. It makes you try to put your attention away from looking at the actors, but instead in the background. If you notice, they have a lot of those like wide angle shots, and you kind of like they want you to so-called anticipate like jump scares coming out from the background, isn't it?
Yeah.
They had the idea, but I didn't think it would kind of like work because nothing actually happens. Because the only thing that jumps out of it is just the sound effect.
Yeah. And honestly, this kind of jump scare is really way over. I mean, there's too many of it nowadays, really. It was started by the Asians and Hollywood actually followed through, and now the Hollywood are like bringing it to another level.
La Llorona.
And now the Asians are actually evolving into something more crazy. So, I mean, you have to evolve with times, lah.
Yeah, 10 years back, maybe it could have been something because it was fresh.
Yeah, it was fresh.
But by now, everybody, like, we've seen this like 10 times already. Like, what's that to be scared about, lah? So,
yeah, exactly. And the thing is, because this movie had a lot of hype when the trailer came out at South by Southwest, I think it was last year.
Oh, there's a lot of hype. I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was a lot of hype. Everybody was watching it. It's going to be one of the scariest movie ever and all. So I was like, oh, shit. You know, I was watching the trailer. I was like, okay, the ghost is not... but, I mean, the idea is there. I'm like... Because the thing is, I'm always a fan of when they try to mix horror element with folklore. You know, I always love that kind of thing, like, you know, from like the olden days of like Bram Stoker's Dracula and Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and you know, I mean, like Werewolf in London, or, you know, all those kind of like folklore and horror kind of thing. It really brings a very entertaining element to it.
Yeah, I did not knew about it until my girlfriend told me, and then I was like, okay, then I checked out the trailer, and then there was the, I think, one of the trailers where they showed the bathroom scene.
Oh,
where
the
daughter was like taking a shower, right? Then after that, like doing, then the ghost did the head massage and all that. Yeah, I was like, okay. Initially, when I saw that trailer, I was like, oh, this could be good. Mm. But then when I saw it, I was like, even that scene itself, I was like, ay.
Yeah, exactly.
Because to me, I can understand the part where, you know, like your loved ones being in danger, all that, but I did not feel any, in any point of time where I felt any form of danger, like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the ghost, no matter what, is bound by some kind of like religious rules.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, look at the priest. I guess the only character which I find kind of like, not irritating, kind of like, is Father Perez. No, not Father Perez. It's, what was the other priest? The one who tried to crack a joke.
Oh, shit. I can't remember.
Cruz guy.
Raymond Cruz. Yeah.
So, for him, his character, like, I mean, the situation is pretty serious in some sense. Like, people are dying and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, I thought he'd be serious, but he cracks jokes. Like, I mean, the joke segments was not placed well.
Yeah.
What else? Like, obviously, there are scenes like I mentioned earlier on about the kacang line and all that. So, I'm trying to think, like, what other stupid scenes, like...
You know, and one more thing I've always felt that, oh, when it comes to, like, the curse of La Llorona...
La Llorona?
And the nun, is... The look and feel of it, they want to make it look and feel like a James Wan movie, but the execution, the plot, and everything is always falling short from how it should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like when you mentioned that, suddenly it got me thinking about the part. Like, in the Nun, like Valak was creepy before Valak opened his mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
And for La Llorona. She was creepy before to me, right? But when she appeared, I was like, get the fuck back inside the shadows, man. You look like shit. Get the fuck back, man. And then, oh my god, the part where the mirror scene. Remember that part where she saw her reflection and all that, like that so-called flashback. I was like, that is so easy. Like, come on, like that part I felt a little bit of a lazy writing, so
there was a lot of lazy writing in the movie.
Yeah,
there was a lot, but like, you know, like, you can see where the writers what the writers are trying to do, but you can see that it's really lazy writing, and just like, you know, at one point they're probably writing the movie and halfway through they're like, ah, oh, shit, I have no idea.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. Yeah, I definitely agree with you. It's like, I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Like, it was not say super strong, but the movie had a certain pace until the near reaching the final act. Suddenly out of idea, like what the fuck, man? Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's, I definitely, honestly speaking, right, this movie, if they are trying to expand the Conjuring universe and all that, or Annabelle universe, right, this movie is not a compliment to the expansion, honestly speaking. That's how I felt. Okay.
If you were the one of the writers, what would you change in the movie to make it better?
I would definitely not include any... like funny scenes. If it needs to be a serious and dark tone movie, do it all the way. You don't try to put in like funny snapshots of like moments. The movie can handle by itself without all those like little segments. You don't need it. Like, if the priest were to go all the way and like so-called showcase on what he needs to do and like save the family, all that, he could be badass, you know. If he just stick to his role and not crack a joke.
That's why
I felt like. And the other part is that the ghost really looks wet lah. Okay lah. She drowned lah. She looks wet lah. Like most of the time she looks like moist like that. So but I really felt that if the ghost were to be like, if they play around with like the wide angles, right? If they play it right, if they put more shadows, like you can expose a little bit of the is that a wedding dress, a gown, right? Something.
Yeah, wedding gown.
Expose half of it, then put her face mostly in the shadows, but her eyes is like yellowish, like bright yellow, right? It looks more ghostly.
It would look more menacing. Also.
Yes, and if they were to stick with that, and then like make like scene by scene very threatening to the family, like threatening, not in a like. Okay, let's look at Brightburn. Like the death scenes. It is very. I wouldn't say. Okay, like, it's realistically enough to say that it can actually happen to a person in real life. Okay, yeah. not the part where you do some Jedi trick and then the family member just flung into the air. That's not real. That's not real. That's not real. Okay, when you do that, you're like, fuck, man. If the ghost were to do a certain scene where, okay, I'm gonna go a bit dark here. If actually she hurt the child and maybe break a finger or something, does that make you cringe? Yes, it does. Yeah, right?
It does.
It makes you like, fuck. Comfort you were like, if scenes like that, right, make you, because come on, let's get real. Like, if a ghost were to grip you, right? I mean, I've never experienced a ghost gripping me or whatever. But then, okay, they got that part okay to me where there's a marking on the kid's hand, right?
Yeah.
It can actually go further, no? Let's say the hand mark starts to fester and then you get blisters and all that, like, and then all those things are like, they can move further into it, but they chose not to. They chose to go with the Jedi tricks,
which
I cannot stand it. Like, would you please stop making people fly around?
The fly around thing is too old school to be utilizing it now.
It was fun when I saw it in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, exactly.
The old one, yeah. What's that? Michelle, you know.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, Sarah Michelle Gellar. Okay, that was funny because it was in the 90s.
Yeah, that was in like mid-90s or like late 90s. I can't remember.
I already got pissed off when I saw Valak do it. And then I saw this wet ghost.
Moist ghost.
Yeah, this moist la Yona. this cider beach. Like, would you stop doing that? Like, what the fuck is this? I cannot stand it.
she's channeling her inner
like
beach fly.
Like this cider ghost, moist, whatever have you, like. I mean, this is us like bit like trying to express our thoughts on it, but I wish somebody would not do that anymore. Like, you know, it's over and done with. How many times have you?
You know what we've done for this movie to make it better, not?
Yeah.
And this will only be like just one thing that will actually make it work, is to base the whole movie in Mexico.
Okay. Yeah. Because Mexico also can be gritty also.
Yeah, that's the gritty element in that. And also base the whole, because I mean it's a Latin community folklore.
Yep.
Why not make the whole movie into a Hispanic movie? You know, them speaking Mexican and all. You know, that will make it very interesting. You'll be like,
what? Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Like all the way English subtitles. Why not? Like make it. But they won't.
Because you know the thing is, movie had a 9 million budget.
9 million.
Yeah, they only had 9 million for the movie. And the thing is, if you want to shift the whole the whole plot and series into Mexico, there's like additional budget to it, and I don't think they wanting to do that because of the additional cost and whatnot. But the thing is, first, you change the location to Mexico. You change it into a Hispanic movie.
Yep.
You take out the, like what you say, the funny element. You put in the gritty, dark element of actually seeing the kid physically being harmed and in pain and agony. And that will actually trigger emotions from us, you know, watching the movie and all. I mean, what's that? I mean, you look at It Chapter 2. The first one.
Yeah.
You know, you put the hand inside, bite off the hand, he started bleeding and all. You'll be like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And you'll be like, wow. Like, you know, they, if they had changed those things, because they had a few things good that was going on in the movie. One is, they made the main lead, that female, Linda Cardellini, they made her work in a child protective organization, which is a very good idea. I mean, they know where they wanted to make it go, the direction that they wanted it to go as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, they made Patricia Velasquez, who was the mom in the first one, you know, how like, you know, the first 25 minutes of the movie or so, I actually was very into it. You know, from the moment that they showed that, you know, what happened to her, the folklore, and how they went into the Patricia Velasquez house, you know, and she was like, had the abusive mom thing, but actually she was trying to protect a kid, and how the kid died. You know, that whole phase, I was like, oh shit, I said this is going to be good. But after that, it just go flat. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, by the third act, yeah.
By the second act, already it was going shit. Really. You can see it going shit.
Yeah.
So you know, like the few things that, you know, like if they change here and there a bit, they change the design of the moist Lairona, the moist lady, change how she look, you know, and all. They implement a bit more of how Valak should look. That lady, you know, kind of like mix and match a bit.
I think
that will work very, very well.
Mm.
And the thing is, if you think about it, not Annabelle, Insidious. Insidious had a very simple storyline. But the moment where they expose you to the idea of, you know, going into the nether realm and seeing the demon himself, everything changed. Everything is like, even though the plot is shit, you'll be like, oh shit. They actually dare to show you that this is the demon. This is the thing that you should be fearful
of. I think Insidious had better makeup for the demons and this and that. So,
and the thing is, you know, like all this element, if they had tweaked in the movie, I think it'll be a good movie.
Yeah. I guess like, I mean, that's the disappointing part. I mean, I wasn't expecting much out of the movie because I wasn't even aware until my girlfriend told me. And but you did mention about they're making quite high praise at South by Southwest and all that. But yeah, well,
unfortunately, the thing is, I'm always very very into like the horror genre and all. So usually when you have things like you know, like SDCC or like Disney kind of thing, or any movie launch or game launch that is horror related, I'll be like, oh shit, you know, I need to watch this kind of thing. So this was one of the biggest hype from South by Southwest. Like, you know, when they...
Disappointing, man.
Yeah, exactly. And when they played the trailer there, you know, everybody after leaving the place was like, wow, you know, this the Curse of Lie, you know, nah, you know, so much hype and all. I actually went to try to find the leaked footage of the trailer because I was so like, oh, you know, it's and it just became shit again.
Yeah.
And honestly, this movie will be a very Conjuring franchise. Like, nobody will even want to, like, you know, include it into, like, the ranks of, like, Annabelle. I mean, Annabelle and all has been on a different level for when it comes to this
kind of movie, precisely. You know? This movie was about an hour and a half or something. Like, it wasn't so long, right?
Yeah, it wasn't so long. It was about
1 hour 45 minutes or something.
Yeah,
like
about that, yeah.
Yeah. So, there was one scene which I remembered that What's her name? Linda
Cardellini.
Yeah.
Cardellini.
There was one scene in the living room where they played the Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Because she was Velma.
Right? Yeah, so,
yeah.
So I was thinking, like, what was the purpose of that, putting that scene in that? What was that purpose for?
Hey, but so, she was hot as Velma's, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, she's been around quite long. She's been in Marvel movies. She's like the Hawkeye's wife.
Hawkeye's wife, yeah.
Then, like, how many Scooby-Doo movies was that?
Two,
right? She was Velma, and then for horror movies, how many was it? Is this the only one she's involved in?
Linda Cardellini. Wait, let's try to ask our friend Google.
Is she like in her 50s or 40s? She's like Tom Cruise age, is it? I can't remember. She's quite old right now. Yeah.
Yeah, she I think is in, wait, let me see. She's 44 actually.
Oh, 44, okay.
Yeah. Horror movie. Oh, she was in Brokeback Mountain. I didn't even know.
Oh, is it? I did not know that.
Other than that.
But Brokeback Mountain is not horror. Right?
That's an art film. She was in the Lazarus Project.
Lazarus Project.
But that wasn't horror. That was more of like thriller. The one with who's that Fast and Furious guy that died? Shit, I can't remember his name. Paul Walker.
Ah, okay.
Other than that, I think this was her first horror movie.
I guess she kind of like pulled. She did quite well in like having that retro look. So
yeah. She does have that
retro-ish kind of look. So
yeah, exactly.
I guess what other trivias I can think of? The character that lost her child before that.
Patricia Velasquez. She is.
She was in The Mummy, right?
Anak Senamun.
Yeah, she was in The Mummy and she looked so different. I was like thinking, like, where have I seen you before?
She looks like a has-been. Yeah.
Yeah. Precisely. Precisely. Like, so
the one in The Mummy, I'm like, oh my god, she looks like shit now.
Well, I don't know whether it's real life effects or makeup, but it was a moment like got me thinking, like, where have I seen you before? Yeah, exactly. Okay, you were in The Mummy, okay. So I don't know, like in Rotten Tomatoes, I think the movie got
a horrible review for it.
What was it? 30 something or 40 something, right? I can't remember what was it.
I can't remember.
Like I know it's pretty bad. Like it
got 31.
Oh my god, really shit.
It was a very bad review. And because the thing is, like, for one of the previous podcasts that we were talking about, Annabelle Comes Home, I don't know how we were talking about the Conjuring franchise and all. And if people who are listening to this are wondering why are we talking about that, because this movie is going to be shit and they will not even bother adding it into the Conjuring franchise. Because if you think about it, Annabelle Comes Home has a character that is like La Llorona, which is the bride. And so
my god, cringe.
And so I have a feeling that they are gonna forego this La Llorona thing and just focus on the bride and build up a story for the bride, a story for the ferryman, and character.
Well, at least the bride doesn't look wet lah.
Yep. So exactly. So I think that's for La Llorona. Because honestly, there's really nothing good to talk about it except certain small points. And you can't even link it to like the Conjuring franchise. You can't even do anything with it.
Yeah, I mean, we can't even stretch the movie the movie topic so long because there's not much going on because there's so little and the littleness that it has sucks.
Yeah. And the only other thing that I can link it to Conjuring franchise is when the year the movie happened, 1973. It was the same year that Annabelle happened in the first movie. That's it.
Ah, okay.
So I'm guessing it's around the same
time. Just one small thing.
Other than that, movie is shit. Don't even bother watching it.
I most definitely will give it a 4 out of 10 because there's a lot of things which makes me like...
I'm going to give it a 3. And that 3 is purely for the acting in the movie. That's it.
Man, that is bad. Yep. So anyway, for those who want to check it out and have listened to this podcast, I suggest you just try to entertain yourself. Like, because the movie even struggles trying to entertain you. Like, the first two so-called acts are okay, but by the second act, that like half of it starts to dwindle down, and by the third act it just doesn't care.
Yeah, just like fucks exactly.
It. Yeah. So
watch it if you want to. Don't watch it if you don't want to. It's not an important movie. It's not part of the Conjuring franchise. So that's it.
Yeah. So if like you feel that you start a certain section of the Conjuring or Annabelle expansion, this is something you can just forget about it. It's not important. Yep. Just like Fia said. So yeah, that's about it. This is the roast.
And the roast.
Of La Llorona.
Llorona.
Yeah, the cider that did not sell well.
From the moist lady.
Moist.